Welcome to New Day Dawning, a programme of inspirational music and readings, which I hope will encourage you and help you to reflect upon the message of Easter. My name is Sheila Hummel, and I'm delighted you've joined me this morning, especially those of you listening in hospitals in the Newcastle and Gateshead area. Let's hope we can brighten your day. Here's a song which might do exactly that. It reminds all followers of Jesus that the resurrection story is something to get really excited about. It's called Come People of the Risen King, written by Stuart Townend and Keith and Kristen Getty.
Come people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice.
Today's reading is from Luke's Gospel, where Jesus appears to his disciples in the upper room and proves he is very much alive. Chapter 24, verses 36 to 48. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So here Jesus shows his disciples his wounds. He eats with them. He proves he is no ghost. He has flesh and bones. And then he begins to open their minds to everything that was written about him by Moses, the prophets, and the psalm writers hundreds of years before he came to earth. Are we willing to open our minds to scripture and be lit up by God's word today?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shine.
That was Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, by Paul Baloche. You know, the Bible is a truly amazing book. Not only has it outsold any other book that's ever been written, it's been translated and published in more languages than any other book. It was written by scholars whose sole duty was to preserve its accuracy, correctness, and style. Thousands of ancient manuscripts in the original languages have been unearthed, which prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can still access these scriptures just as they were originally written. Our next song, Thy Word by Amy Grant, quotes Psalm 119, which tells us that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But of course, it can only be that to us if we read it and take it in. Saint Paul put it this way, all scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in right living.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my side, and I will love you to the end.
Here we have Jesus saying to his disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Now he opens their minds to understand their words. So I wonder which of these writings did he discuss with them? Let's take the writings of Moses first. We are told that the chosen one, the Messiah, would be born of woman's seed, not man's, that he would be of the house of Judah, one of Jacob's 12 sons, and that he would be a blessing to all nations. He would be a peacemaker, a leader, and his kingdom would be eternal. We're also told that his reign would begin at a time when the line of kings of Judah was at an end. And it's really interesting to note that Jesus was born, as predicted, when the line of kings of the house of Judah did come to an end. For Herod the Great, who became king in 49 BC, was the first foreign king over the Jews. Which of these other ancient texts from God's word in the prophets and Psalms was Jesus pointing out to his disciples, I wonder? In the reading we just heard, Jesus reminds them how he told them he must suffer and die. And in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the prophet talks of a suffering servant, one who would be one day rejected and despised by men, a man of sorrows, someone who would take upon himself the suffering and sins of the world. It goes on to say he would be like a lamb, going silently to the slaughter without a sound, and would be given a grave with the wicked, along with the rich in death. Here is a paraphrase of Isaiah 53, recorded on the album Kaleidoscope of Characters. He grew up like a tender shoot, a root out of dry ground. He had no outward beauty, nothing to keep us bound. He was despised, rejected, and hated such a lot, and no one had respect for him, and we esteemed him not. But he carried all our sorrows, our fears, our doubts, our pain, and then we just ignored him and left him in the rain. Pierced through for all our wickedness, crushed down with all our sin, the punishment that brought us peace was won because of him. And we like sheep have gone astray. We've each gone our own way, our every sin was laid on him, for someone had to pay. He was led away to slaughter, meek and humble like a lamb, and he never said a single word, so innocent yet damned. And though he'd done no violence, no deceit was on his breath, he died beside the wicked and with the rich in death. He was numbered with the sinners, for he bore the sins of men, and he prayed for his abusers, "Forgive them, Lord." Amen. Just to remind you, this is Radio Tyneside, hospital radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the ward entertainment system, on 1575 AM in the hospital community, and on Radio Player. You can also contact us online by sending your message to info@radiotyneside.co.uk. One of the most beautiful lines in Isaiah 53 is the very last one. "For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for his transgressors," which means the suffering servant would pray for those who were abusing him and pray for their forgiveness, which Jesus did on the cross. Forgiveness, now that's a very hard thing to do.
Angry faces round you, howling at you, mocking crowds all jeering as they pierce you through. Enemies are sneering and tormenting. It was then I heard you whispering, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do to me." Then I
rejected as they call you names. Totally ignored, they play their gambling games. It was then I heard you whispering, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do to me. Then I saw you looking at them with no return of malice in your eyes. I see your face before me and I know you care. It is then I hear you whispering, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do to me. Then I see you at them with no return of malice in your eyes. Help me to have that same look in my eyes.
Forgiveness is the one quality quite unique to Jesus and his message. Forgiveness, this powerful force which can lift us out of the disease of bitterness and regret. Forgiveness, the one act that can bring healing and reconciliation and the peace much needed in this world. Of course, there are many other prophecies that Jesus could have been pointing out to his disciples on that day in the upper room, not only about his suffering and death, but the manner of the Messiah's birth, of a virgin, where he would be born, in Bethlehem, what his ministry would consist of, setting the oppressed free and preaching good news, and what sort of people he would bring healing to, the blind, the lame and the mute, what kind of stories he would tell. He would speak in parables, how people would address him as Emmanuel, the mighty God, eternal Father and Prince of Peace, and even how he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, and then again his resurrection, you will not abandon me to the grave. Here are the answers written down by the prophets so long ago before Jesus came to earth, and there for us all to read. Finally, the Psalms, what did they say? Let's look in particular at Psalm 22, which reads like a newspaper report at the scene of Jesus' crucifixion, and yet it was written hundreds of years before Jesus died. In this psalm, someone is suffering and feeling a sense of God's abandonment. Evil people surround him and jeer at him. His bones are out of joint. His heart has turned to wax. His hands and feet have been pierced, and he can even count his bones. People cast lots for his clothing. Here is a very moving song from the album Psalms Unplugged, based upon Psalm 22. It's by Lee Vermeulen Roberts, and it's called My God, Why?
My God, why have you left me here? Where are you now? Now, when I need you
Many people who go through distressing times ask the same question, why God? And today they just might find some measure of comfort to know that Jesus asked this very same question as he hung on the cross. Why God? Why have you forsaken me? If you are asking this question today, if you have your own cross to bear, we're thinking about you right now and praying for you. And so Jesus reminded his disciples, this is what I told you when I was still with you, that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected by the elders, that he must be killed and after that rise again after 3 days. What are the chances of all these prophecies being fulfilled in one person in one moment of time? Earlier that same day, words spoken by Jesus to two disciples when he met them on the road to Emmaus still echo down through the centuries. How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. May God's love and blessing be upon everyone listening today, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever circumstances you are in. This is Sheila Hamill at Radio Tyneside. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll tune into New Day Dawning at Radio Tyneside next Sunday. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical skills in helping to produce this programme. So I leave you with a song again by Stuart Townend, which speaks of Jesus as the promise of the ages. No other person can match the accuracy of all the many prophecies told about Jesus, which fall into place and fit together so perfectly, like pieces from some celestial jigsaw puzzle. These are the promises God made concerning the coming of the Messiah, his life and death, his character, his power and his purpose. Bye for now, and I'll see you soon.
God's saints of old, through history told,